Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. How you doing, Georgie? See how I flipped it around there?
Yeah, why
do
that?
I just landed from New York because we were talking about Madison Square Garden, so it was like a New Yorker. Hey, how you doing, Georgia?
How you doing?
I bet that's said so many times at Hartsfield. Hey, Georgia, how you doing?
Oh, man. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning.
It is looking like that, ain't it?
Not a cloud in the sky.
We can see Stone Mountain. Well, actually, that's Kennesaw Mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can see Cirque du Soleil still over there at Atlantic Station. You still haven't been over there, have you?
Have not been.
Man, you need to go there. That's one of the few places you go to where you regularly say, wow.
Yeah.
Or damn. Or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just a few of those places like that in the city. Your mouth is regularly agog at a Cirque du Soleil show.
Agog.
Yeah.
Agog. Look at you throwing words around it this morning. That's amazing.
Kind of like Magic City.
It is.
Before we get into the NFL action, let's revisit some of the things that we said about yesterday's college finals and talked about the top four. We know Tuesday is the day that they're going to make the announcement, the top four, as far as the I just lost my train of thought.
The playoff.
Don't you hate it when good sentences go bad?
Playoff rankings.
Okay, the rankings. That's going to happen on Tuesday. But, you know, everybody's got an opinion about where they go.
Early in the show, we asked somebody who was actually at the game yesterday, and they still included Alabama in the top four.
That's because that call came from Alabama.
Well, I'm just saying, it's somebody who was actually there. So if they still say Alabama should be in, should Alabama still be in, or should they be
out? You know what they say about opinions.
Okay, everybody.
All right, yeah. Absolutely. So, again, we're going to find out on Tuesday, and we're going to be mad. Some of us are going to be mad, and they're going to talk about it throughout the course of the week. You're asking me my four?
What's your four
right now?
Right
now. LSU. I mean, no particular order, but I think LSU number one. I think Georgia slips in at number four. Wherever you want to put.
And your other two?
Yeah. Clemson and You know, I just hate to say this, but yeah, Ohio State.
Yeah.
What's the point of 72-13 or whatever it was? I mean, what's the point?
Was that the win over Maryland yesterday?
Yeah. What's the point? I mean, it's 73. I get it. They just didn't get stopped, but still.
Just because they can. Because they can do it.
Are they so afraid of not making the playoffs that they have to run up the score? They got to do this.
I think they
can take a page from Steve Spurrier.
I think that's part of what's happening. I think that's part of what's driving the mentality. Also, with them being first year after Urban Meyer, they want to make sure leave nothing to chance. So not just win
games.
That's
funny you said that after Urban Meyer, as if he doesn't still have his fingerprint on everything.
Well, I'm just saying it's the first year after him, and so I think they won't leave nothing to chance. The thing of it is, could they stumble? Because we thought that's what the same thing was going to happen last year. And they ride into Purdue for that nighttime game and, you know, just got a surprise. So that's the other thing about Ohio State. They want to make sure they're there in that equation. You say who they played. They played a ranked opponent. They've beaten Wisconsin, you know, but not the resume that LSU presents. And LSU obviously deserves to be at the top spot. So I'm giving them – I will give them one. I'm giving Ohio State two. I'm giving Clemson three. And I'm bringing Georgia back in at four.
And then the question is that we also threw out earlier. You feel comfortable if Georgia wasn't four, who would you put at number four?
Number four, man, Oklahoma struggled with the fighting.
With
the fighting Dave Archers last night. The fighting Dave Archers almost pulled up. And you know what? I gave up on that game late in the game because I had just gotten off the bus and just driven home. I'm saying, oh, man, you know, Oklahoma's got this. And then Iowa State just hung around and just kept going as long as there was some time left on the clock. So Oklahoma performance like this, you say, you know, that's the other thing. Penn State, their loss, you drop them out. I mean, dare you give Oregon a shot at that. Dare you give a team from the West Coast a shot at being in that mix of one-loss West Coast team?
All right, then I'll put it this way. Of the teams you've named, you think Georgia can beat all of them. They, if they had to play them next week, and we're talking national championship, and given what you've seen out of this Georgia team, and Ken was in here earlier breaking down his thoughts on how he thinks
the rest of the one-loss teams?
Pardon?
The rest of the one-loss
teams? No, the teams ahead of Georgia. Do you
I think they can beat any of them.
Okay.
You know,
and I don't think they can take LSU right now.
I think they have what it takes. I mean, even for them, I mean, you know what? A better evaluation.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I can beat Clemson.
A better evaluation, I think, may come next week. We'll see what Georgia does with Auburn, because we know how close Auburn pushed LSU. They gave LSU a more difficult time than Alabama gave them yesterday, actually. And so with their defense, let's see what Fromm does in the roles that the receivers have to play coming up, considering they're facing this very tough defensive unit from Auburn.
Coach O, LSU, yeah. Nick Saban.
Go Tigers.
Dabo Swinney.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
Nick Saban. You take those guys right there. I'm going to leave out the new guy at Ohio State, because he's still, as far as I'm concerned, he's still getting memos to him from the Fox Studios in L.A., okay, from that dude. But when it comes down to what we saw yesterday between LSU and Alabama, I said earlier on in the show, and I truly believe this to be the case, that what Alabama did in the second half is an extension of Nick Saban. You know, he talked about the opponents he's had so far this year. He's heard the chatter, maybe, maybe not. I don't know that it even affects him. But they have not played up the same caliber of talent. Okay, so he got somebody that was equal to them, if not better. And they got whatever adjective you want to throw in as far as that first half, how they got beat up. But he brought them back. They came back in the second half. They played like an Alabama team. So we talk about adjustments. I named those other coaches because when you saw what we saw out of those two coaches yesterday, how LSU came out of the chute and then how Alabama came back, we know what Dabo Swinney can do. My question to you is, and this is all about adjustments, of those coaches that are there with those top programs, who do you feel most comfortable with making halftime adjustments when they are down like what we saw Alabama yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, Sweeney obviously is great at doing those things. You mentioned Saban and the fact that he made – do you realize that now there are two coaches active in the Southeastern Conference who've beaten Saban?
Yeah.
It's only one, he and Gus Malzahn.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only two coaches in the conference to have beaten Nick Saban. So, I mean, that tells you a little bit about – him and how thoroughly he prepares his team and how well he makes adjustments, those type of things. Kirby Smart, you know, was doing those things. And you want to see how he responds in these, especially these last two conference games,
right,
against Auburn and against Texas A&M. Let's not totally discount them. There's a lot of talent there. They've underachieved. And we talked with Brad Nessler last Sunday morning, and he talked about Texas A&M and how a lot of people were hoping or thinking they would be there in a real test this year. There's talent on that team, and a coach who's won a national championship, you don't want to overlook those guys. Right. And to me, that's more of a trap game possibly than I feel like Auburn. They're going to be up. They're going to have it right for Auburn. But don't fall into a trap with Texas A&M, because that team hasn't lived up to expectations this year.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We'll all wait till Tuesday and find out what happens.
Mm-hmm.
What's that line from your movie, The Untouchables, or Sean Connery? Don't know what's going to happen next. Wait and see what happens next. Something like that.
Well, look, you mentioned LSU and the folks in Louisiana. That is where the Falcons find themselves today. And so,
Tell me why this isn't going to be.
It would just make a big weekend for them if they, you know, they beat Alabama yesterday and, you know, they do win the Falcons. It would just, they might just bring the floats out and have a parade down in Louisiana. It don't take much for that to happen down there anyway. So that's the whole thing. The Falcons have that going against them. Time off. These are the games that are supposed to count. These are games in your division. But, man, you know, you go back and we all knew when Drew Brees got injured, he would be back in time for this game.
Right.
There was never a doubt in my mind that he was going to close to missing this game. And sure enough, he's going to be there. Matt Ryan, we say, was going to be there. And play in this game today. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult.
Tell me why this just won't be ugly.
Because
I'm speaking for this is what's things, coming out of the barbershop.
Strange things have happened in this series.
Yeah, you know what?
Strange things have happened in this series. I'm telling you, Greg, for someone who's followed Falcon Saints down through the years.
But you've never been in this position. And this position is this. Throughout the years of this rivalry, there has never been a boulder. I won't even say a chip, but a boulder on the shoulders of one of the teams like the one that's sitting on the Saints' shoulders after what's happened to them these last couple years. And then their quarterback goes out at the beginning of the season. So them coming back, I don't even think they think about the Falcons as far as a hurdle anymore or even a challenge this year because they are so focused on what's going to happen in Miami. They're thinking of the Super Bowl and how we win that thing. They're just Atlanta's just another stepping stone to them.
I think that's out there, but I don't think they dare overlook a team that have the kind of history that they have with
them.
Yeah,
but just say we're not at full strength, though. That's the problem. Let's be honest. A full strength Falcons, despite what we've said about the ups and downs this year, they go in their full strength, then we got a conversation. But as far as I'm concerned, if you focus on the skill position players that are still there, you got to wonder if, at least offensively, you know, can these guys get it done if they put three people on Julio and the running game is not the same? And is Austin Hooper going to be the man? We're going to just throw to tight ends all game? No, you can't do that. And then with Drew Brees back and wanting to show that, you know, listen, sorry about the beginning of the season, but let me remind you who I am. But I just think it could be ugly.
You know what, though? He doesn't have to do that anymore, though. I mean, that's what he used to – have to do, and that's the thing with the weapons that he has around him and the way they run things offensively in New Orleans now, he doesn't have to be that. One of my concerns for the Falcons today is special teams. We got an awful lot of new.
Yeah, we do.
Punter, kickers. I mean, that's the whole thing, and you just don't want any miscues coming up there and things really snowball. So, me, that's the thing. I hope everybody's taking the name tag off. You know, we go to an event to put hello, my name is. I hope everybody's taking the name tag off at least. And they learn everybody's name, man, because, to me, that could be crucial in a game like this. We'll see. That place gets loud and noisy down there, and it's hard to keep you focused. And, you know, that's
– you know, we've danced around this being kind of nice about our thoughts in this because we're the – you know, radio home of the Falcons.
We
got a guy up next who's going to cut right through it and tell us what he thinks.
Wow.
And we love having him on.
Yikes.
D. Orlando Ledbetter is going to be joining us. We're going to continue Falcons Talk next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
But for me, it's not a disappointing season for me because, like, yeah, we 1-7 or whatever it is. It's like we're not where we want to be at. But the season's not over, so I can't speak on if the season is disappointing or however it is.
Okay, whatever you say. Sports Radio 92.9
Thank you,
the game,
Julio.
92.9thegame.com. Of course, Julio Jones. Boy, what must the last 24 hours been for him?
Yeah.
Sitting back, probably had a little. He got to his hotel room, sitting back, waiting for the guys to come on, room. Let's watch the game together, right? And Alabama didn't make him smile yesterday.
No.
Anyway, speaking of Julio and our Atlanta Falcons, anytime we want to get the inside scoop on what's going on with them, we have our opinions. But we bring in. You okay there, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Just trying to get ready for you guys.
Okay. I just heard some noise. We're going to have to call 911. D. Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg.
Morning,
Sports
man.
Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Yeah, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Greg and Sam. Thanks for having me this morning.
I asked Mr. Crenshaw at the beginning of the last segment. I'm going to ask you the same question. Is there a way to convince me that this isn't going to get ugly today for the Falcons?
Well, you got to rely on history, Greg. There's nothing there on the record to say that this team could come in here and do the job. You know, being outscored by 94 points in the first half of games, in the first eight games of the year. So, no, there's nothing other than history and the fact that it's a rivalry game and they always play it close. So, you got to kind of hang your hat on that today.
Man, thoughts about that. But the thing I guess kind of keep going back to, D-Led, is the fact that, you know, this is a series with a lot of history about it. And sometimes you think you have something pegged a certain way with it, and there can be some differences. I mean, it doesn't look that way from the outside, but the Falcons have had a week to get set for it. What are some things that must happen, though, early in this game for them to have a fighting chance today?
Well, the big one, Sam, is the – you know, the Saints have the number 4 run defense and the Falcons have the number 29 run offense. So, you know, somehow, some way, they got to run the ball and try to keep Drew Brees off the field and keep their own defense off the field some. So if they can pull that off, that would be a really big step towards winning this game. The other one is the turnovers, which Coach Quiz mentions weekly. Field position with your new kicker and your new punter. And those three things will be key towards winning this game if you can pull that off.
The Orlando Ledbetter joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You talked about Drew Brees, and I've been talking about this throughout the morning and for the last few weeks. I don't know of another player with a bigger chip on their shoulder than Drew Brees, and by extension, a team, given what's happened to them the last few years. You talked about keeping him off the field, but this is a guy and an offense that doesn't need a lot of time to score.
Yeah, no doubt. He came back last week, 31-9 over Arizona, back from the broken thumb. They have their weapons back. They'll have Alvin Kamara and Jared Cook, our guy from North Gwinnett High, played at South Carolina. He's going to have all his weapons back to go with Michael Thomas. So, what you got to do is keep him in front of you and try to make him work the long 13, 14-play drives and not give up the big play, drives, which, has been a problem for the Falcons with 31 pass plays of 20 yards or more. So, just make them earn everything, and that's what they want to do. And, heck, if you can get a pass rush on them, get it. But, we haven't seen that this year.
Yeah, listen, all that being said, and yes, that's what they need to do. Should Falcon fans feel confident that they can do that, though, going into this game?
No, they don't, Greg. There's no reason to feel confident based on what we've seen in the first eight games. But, if you're a fan, you're always hoping. You got a dream that, hey, maybe Vic Beasley gets loose for some sacks. Maybe Grady Jarrett. Okay, that might be your best matchup, Grady against their banged-up guards. Maybe he can get in there. You got to wish and hope for something, dramatic to happen, something that we haven't seen this year to happen to pull off this game. Otherwise, it's going to be a 7-1 team beating up on a 1-7 team.
Man, and that's just something. Season began, there's no way we could see this coming. But as the weeks progress, we feel like that is reality with this team. Who would you want to see step up today and do some things that maybe we haven't seen them done? You just mentioned Vic Beasley. Could we see more from Ridley today in the receiving game if they try to take Julio away? Do we do more in that regard? We know that we're going to go to our tight end a lot, and he's been our main guy, but you don't get vertical going with your tight end, and you're going to need to do that some today too.
Well, yeah, Sam, I want to see Freeman do something. That was a good one, really good call there. He'll be going against the number two corner, so he had some good matchups last season against the Saints, so that was a definitely area where you could have some success. The one wary spot is Caleb McGarry against Cam Jordan, the Saints' fine defensive end. But maybe you send some help over there, send the fullback over there to help him with that. But you don't want to get in a shootout here. That's not been the winning formula. But, you need somebody to make some plays. You got KZ playing some free safety, and they put him back there because he had the 7 interceptions last year at the top of the league lead. So he's like, well, he was a guy that came up with the ball. Why don't we move him? So they're moving him back. Raheem Morris is going over there to help the D-backs. Maybe they could get some balls up in the air, get some turnovers. Something's got to happen for the Falcons to pull this thing off today.
Go ahead, Sam.
Just the attitude in like the war room, if you will, for lack of a better term. You have a week away. You do make some changes when you're coaching staff. You reassign some folks. Thoughts about how some of that may work out and what we may see differently because of some of that today. Is there anything we could see different that would be a direct cause of?
Well, Desmond Trufant is the game time decision. If he's back, then you're back at full strength. Maybe you could play some man and maybe jump some Michael Thomas route because that's where the ball's coming. Maybe your defensive backs are in better position where they're not giving up touchdowns like they did against Seattle. They get the interceptions. Maybe they don't give up the explosive plays, 31 plays of 20 yards or more. So with Raheem Morris over there coaching those guys up, if they took to it and they simplified the game plan, those are three other areas where you can get immediate market improvement and stop the explosive plays and the easy scores that are killing you.
Dear Orlando Ledbetter, joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I got two areas I want to take you in. I don't know which one I'm going to ask you first, so I'm just going to pick one. Okay, here's the one I want to go with. If the Saints aren't the best team in the NFC, then general consensus is the 49ers are them. And let's talk about a guy that you actually covered for a while, and did you see the success coming out of that organization with Kyle Shanahan being out there this year being undefeated?
No, I didn't. He came here as in a hot mess from – you know, kind of bumpy stints in Cleveland and Washington with RG3 and then Johnny Manziel. And so, you know, he came here and put something together in that second year that led to him to get a job. You know, I do know John Lynch, know him well, covered him too. And I thought that was a good pairing, but they got off to a bumpy start, a lot of injuries. They had a lot of high picks. They made some bad ones, Reuben Foster being one, but they've been able to put it together and stay true to what they wanted to do. They got a quarterback off of the 49ers, and, you know, the running game, he found his defensive coordinator, Mr. Salih, and they're playing a old-school brand of football in this pass-and-spread era that's being real successful. So, no, I didn't see it coming, but good for Kyle.
The other question I was going to ask you is, and get your question so much as a statement. I heard something this past week that gave me, and I would say Falcons fans, reason to pause. And that was once the Carolina made the decision to put Cam Newton on the IR, his time in Carolina pretty much over. And the speculation was, or at least one of them, he may end up in New Orleans as a backup to Drew Brees if he's only got a minute and a half left on his career, and that would be something that would keep Sean Payton in place, Cam get healthy there and be the backup and then take over as quarterback of the Saints. What are your thoughts on that, and did you hear that?
Yeah, you heard the rumblings, but I thought the Chicago ones were better, you know, in a more likely place where you could start and come in and play. And play with a good defensive team that's, you know, was just in the playoffs last year. But, yeah, the same thing makes sense, too, because Teddy's going to probably leave. Drew is older. Would be a good landing place. I could see Cam wanting to be in New Orleans over Chicago. He's a, you know, Southern Atlanta kid. But I'm more worried about the Liz Frank thing. That's been a career-ending injury for some players. I remember Von Hutchins here in Atlanta got stepped on by Jamal Anderson, and that was the end of his career. So I'm more worried about getting his foot back than where he's going to land. But if he can make it back, he certainly will have a job. He's better than half the quarterbacks in the league. Certainly MVP Cam is better than, you know, most of the quarterbacks in the league. So good. Hopefully he gets healthy. And if Carolina really believes Kyle Allen's the future, more power to him. They were saying the same thing about Gardner Minshew down in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago until he got exposed. I want to see a little bit more from Kyle Allen before I anoint him an NFL starting quarterback.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with D. Orlando Ledbetter. You can follow him. He is social. Follow him on Twitter at D. Orlando AJC. Now I want to ask you a little bit something because you're in New Orleans. Usually, this game, I always say, is the NFL game that has the college atmosphere. The fans go when the Saints fans come here, when they play the Falcons fans. Are the Falcons fans down there? Do people still make the trip, or do they give them hotel rooms up?
No, my plane wasn't as packed as normal, so I don't think a lot of people made the trip. I do know some folks that did. I saw a Madea shirt on the plane that said, "Y'all bet not lose today." A couple ladies had made some custom T-shirts. So, no, there's still going to be some folks coming down, but not as much as normal, I don't think.
You said you got your cup of coffee. What you got? You got some beignets with your coffee? You got some powder all over the place there, all over your working area?
No, that's later on. I got to get that in before I head over to the stadium in an hour.
All right, D-Man. Listen, appreciate it as always. Enjoy your time there. And as Sam likes to say, bring us back a win.
Yeah.
All right, Greg and Sam, I'll see what I can do about that. I'm not planning on being on the field, but if I was, I'd hit somebody real hard.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Sam and Greg. Listen, I don't know what to say after that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. We got just a little bit of time left before we turn things over to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Yeah.
Big old Hugh Douglas is sitting out there.
Yep.
Spitting and giving opinions and talking about that. Andy Bunker's going to be with
him. Andy Bunker's ready with him.
It's going to be a great show. And we've done this before on the heels of Veterans Day. I give you a little tidbit from one of the greatest men I've ever known. But for you, the audience, given those of you out there, a firsthand account of somebody who was actually at the D-Day invasion. Let me say that again.
Mm-hmm.
The D-Day invasion. Firsthand account. And this is not something from the archives. This man is still alive, and he has a more extended video, an extended conversation about it, but just a kind of a capsulized version of his take on being at D-Day, being out in the water off Omaha Beach. So, anyway, going to play that for you coming up during casting call, top y'all heard. But, Mr. Crenshaw, before we get on out of here and get to some of the games, there's some other events going on today in the world of sports.
Well, we do have NASCAR going on there, making the left turns out in wonderful Phoenix today. And we're winding things down, playoff bubble. You got Martin Truex, you got Kevin Harvick, got Kyle Busch and Joey Logano who are in. And you got the other four who are trying to drive their way in. And Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, and Chase Elliott, still contenders there. And you're trying to get those final two championship race spots that are available in this elimination race coming up this afternoon at 2:30. Kyle Busch is on the pole for the race out there that's coming up later on today as we head for the championship for NASCAR for this season. National Football League Week 10. There are a few games that I see that I like, and one of them got the Lions and the Bears. Ain't that usually the Thanksgiving Day game?
No, well, the Lions, yeah, but they
play
some.
No, man, they
mix it up.
Okay.
Listen, you know who's going to be on Thanksgiving this year that people will look at with a skunk eye, but they actually deserve it? The Bills. The Buffalo Bills.
Yikes.
Yeah, no. You see the Bills record this year?
Yeah, I know. I know that they're 6-2. They have the Browns today. And Skunk Eye's going to be on us because we got Thanksgiving Day game too.
Yeah.
We're going to get to see the Saints again. They'll be right back here in a couple of weeks. We get to play those guys again. New York. Anybody want to see this game between the Giants and the Jets today?
Only New Yorkers.
Oh, I don't even think that. I don't know if they want to see it.
Maybe some gamblers.
Yeah, but that might be the only one, man. Who wants to see that game? You mentioned the Panthers at 5-3. They got the Packers today, 7-2. And they're playing outdoor at Lambeau. Bundle up.
I haven't talked to you since people caught up with me with what I've been saying about Lamar Jackson for how many years? How many years I've been on? I mean,
yeah, you go all the way back to the first year.
I've been his cheerleader from, that's right.
All the way back in Louisville.
Despite Bobby Petrino, he still got it done. And I mean, this performance this last week against Tom Brady. Now listen, it's got to continue. But of those Heisman Trophy winners that followed him, and I said, listen, you can get me going about him and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
That second year, you can make a real strong case that Lamar Jackson should have been the next Archie Griffin. But they gave it to Baker Mayfield.
But he's making up for it this year with the Ravens. You know, he is. He's doing that. You got Rams and Steelers later on today in Pittsburgh. Rams are coming back east again to play. Done that some this season. Vikings and Cowboys are the Sunday night game.
I mean, I really don't care. I don't want the Vikings to win, but then again, I'm so nonplussed about the Cowboys. It's amazing. I'm more interested in watching and seeing what Jason Witten's done this year after taking that year off.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing okay. I don't know how to feel about the Cowboys. I'm not one of those people who just can't stand them, nor do I love them. I don't know what to think.
They don't move you one way or the
other. No, they don't. And Minnesota kind of is the same thing, too. Like, I want the Packers to lose. We're talking about the same division as the Bears.
Yeah.
I want the Packers to lose all the time. And they're considered one of the top teams in the MSC. By the way, I haven't asked you that.
Because you're such good friends with the quarterback.
Oh, man, that dude is – you talk about somebody – never mind.
I'm
in a long line of people who say the same thing about him.
You guys hang out at the same spots.
No, that was just when I went and covered him out there in that Tahoe thing, and he was unnecessarily curt with people. He just was. There was no reason to be that way. If I go to interview you after a big loss, I can understand you being that way. And
he wasn't doing discount double check.
He wasn't doing, no, he wasn't.
It wasn't.
And it wasn't even to me. It was what he was saying to other people who were standing relatively, you know, relatively far away from him, or words of that effect. And then he just turned and just decided to be a so-and-so.
Maybe he was having a bad day.
I'm in a long line of people who say things about his personality.
Maybe he was having a bad day.
If you played golf, you would know, and golfers out there will agree with me, when you're playing golf, there's no such thing as a bad day.
That's true.
Because you're playing.
That's true. Well, maybe the best game of the week is actually tomorrow night, Seahawks and 49ers.
Nah, that's what I'm looking for.
That will be a good game.
And are you as surprised as everybody else about the success Kyle Shanahan's having so far?
I am surprised, but they're rolling, man. They're getting it done, you know.
As we wrap things up, I will point you toward the casting call opportunities, but I want to remind you, we're going to play for you on the heels of Veterans Day some comments from a veteran who was at the D-Day invasion in Normandy in June 6th, 1944. And this person is still alive. That's up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.